I want to preach a message this morning, from Psalms. You think about the book of Psalms, you got 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. If you count total Bible chapters in the Bible, you come up with 1,189. So I've got 1,189 total chapters in the Bible, 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. That means that a little more than one out of every eight chapters in the Bible is a psalm. Now, page-wise, it's not one-eighth of the Bible, I understand that. But if you count chapter, and page-wise, it's a good part. But if you count chapters in the Bible, Book of Psalms would be one-eighth of the entire Bible. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on three lessons from the Book of Psalms, three things that I think are emphasized over and over and over again in the book of Psalms. And if there are three things that are prominent in the book of Psalms and that God stresses again and again and again, and if those are one-eighth of all the chapters in the Bible, then maybe it's pretty important we ought to get a hold of it. That may be something God wants us to get. Why don't you turn your Bible to Psalm 145. Not going to read the entire book of Psalms. And are you used to standing for the reading of the Word of God? Why don't you do that? And stand up and we'll read a little bit out of Psalm 145 and get started with it here, maybe quite a bit. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, O my God. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of thy of the might and of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. As I read this, it sounds like God, the psalmist is praising God, thankful for what God did for him. I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Skip down to verse 19. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths that it teaches us. Help us to follow your commands. Help us to worship you, praise you, honor you, glorify you. We pray you'd help us to live a life that would be pleasing to you. We pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And I think, if you read the book of Psalms at all, and you could almost, I've thought about trying to say, let's just turn randomly to a psalm and point a finger and see what you read. And I think probably if you read any 10 verses in the book of Psalms in a row, you'd find something that talks about praising God. God wants us to praise him. And God wants us to work. God wants us to praise him, talk about his goodness, remind yourself of his goodness, talk about to God about it, to praise him about it, talk to others about it. You say, my life is pretty rough. All of us have rough times and rough things in our life, but God is good. Amen. I think about it. Number one, why would I praise God? I'm saved. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I mean, you were quoting Dr. Rice in Sunday school. Old story of being on the elevator and somebody, threatening him. He's going to kill him and so on. Kill Dr. John R. Rice, the old preacher. And Dr. Rice said, you can't scare me with heaven. You know, I mean, that's where I'm going. And older I get, closer it is to being there, probably, but you never know. You never know. I mean, I'm saved. I'm born again. And my parents both got saved. Mom and dad are in heaven, living a wonderful life up there, living eternally up there. Some of the things about heaven I know from reading the Bible, a lot of it I don't know. But I'm looking forward to seeing them again someday. God is good. The fact that I'm saved, the fact that, you know, why wouldn't I praise God? You look at our finances and preacher talked, and boy, in Sunday school, I mean, I think, you know, Christians today more and more, as I deal with young people more and more, you know, or through the years I have Bible college and all that, keep, you know, working and trying to recruit students for Bible college and getting them in Bible college. Seems like more and more people are just worried about money and how am I going to pay my bills and what if this done, you know, and you know, all of us. I don't care where you live, if a lot of people in this world could move into your house with your finances and your food, they'd think they were unbelievably rich.
Yes, that's right.
Thinking again, talking to Brother Ross yesterday about the first missions trip I took over 50 years ago, and we took a train as a group of college-age kids, and we took a train out of Ciudad Juarez next to El Paso there, the Mexican side, and took the train overnight down into Mexico City, and sunup we were getting into Mexico City, and it seemed like we went by mile after mile after mile of cardboard shacks. Tin, if they had a tin roof, it looked better than most. And people and families living there. And I thought, wow, am I ever rich?
Yes.
Yes. Good. I don't know why. I'm no better than those people. Not worth any more. God loves them as much as he loves me and you. But I mean, our grocery bill may get tight. Maybe sometimes you go to beans and rice and beans or whatever. But I don't guess any of us are worried about having something to eat tonight or tomorrow. You say, may say, well, it's not exactly what but I'm going to be fed. God's been good. And I have food to eat. I have clothes to wear. Have a house. Adequate. I mean, it's warm in the winter and cool in the summer. God's good. You ought to praise him. You ought to think about, you know, I have a wife. I have a wife that loves me, I think. Is nice to me most of the time. Probably more than I'm nice to her, I don't know. But God is, you know, God is always good. You know, spend your time thinking about what God has done for you and the blessings you have. Children that love me, serving God. Do I have disappointments in my life? Sure. But God is good. And I mean, if you look at your life and you think about it and you compare it to others, again, just the fact that I'm saved. You know, I've got a copy of God's Word. I can read the Bible. A lot of people don't have a full copy. Some people don't have it in their language. Most of us have more copies of the Bible laying around the house than, you know, whatever. I can talk to God, talk to him this morning. He answers my prayers. And I look back and think, you know, hey, God answered that prayer. I've been blessed. You sing sometimes, so many songs go, it's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. We traveled with tour groups, three or four of the ladies here traveled in tour groups with my wife and me. They'd sing and I'd preach. My wife keep us all happy. And around the country. One year, one of the songs I think they sang in meetings, and we sang it on the way home, and it had been a long journey, but I have been blessed. Living for Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed. I mean, there's so many things that we have we ought to be able to praise God for. And just, you know, thank Him. Preacher H.A. Ironside, of old Bible teacher and preacher. I think I heard a story where he was out with somebody, another preacher, may have been James M. Gray, someplace in New Guinea or whatever, and in a tent, and it was hot, and mosquito netting up, and laying on a cot that, you know, wasn't much. And one of them said, "Boy, it sure is hot out here. It's, you know, I don't know if I can sleep or not tonight." And the other one said, "My Lord never had it so good." He didn't have any place to lay his head. I mean, certainly no reason I ought to have it any better than Jesus, but physically I do. Yes. And so do all of you.
Yes.
Right. I was looking for Ironside quotes, and I happened across one that says, "We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction." Oh, that's good. You know, if we praised God more, we'd worry less. If I think about, "God, you've done this for me and this for me and this for me, and you're my Father, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm going to see you someday, and the rapture may come, that we have that blessed hope that He could show up any day, and we'll be out of here and be in heaven." I mean, if we'd praise God more, we'd worry less. Because you've done so much, why should I worry about the future? Used to hear a different trio sing when I was at a camp as a teen, in my 20s, worked at a camp, and they had a trio. It was a good trio, I think. I'm not a music person, but they were good. They'd sing, they'd start a trio, ladies' trio, so you have soprano, second, and alto, is that right? And they'd come in, "I," real high, and then "I," a little, you know, the second, and then "I," the lower, alto, "believe. So why should I worry or fret? I believe, so why should I worry or fret? He holds the future in the palm of His hand, and He's never failed me yet. I know that He's leading by His almighty hand, so why should I worry or fret? I believe, so why should I worry or fret?" Hey, if we praise God, it solves so many things in our life. You ought to praise God to yourself. You ought to think as you get up in the morning and make a list of things for which you're thankful. Praise God for His goodness. You know, I mean, God is always good. Sometimes we have disappointments in our life. Usually those things are what we're thinking about in terms of time and temporal things and living down here in terms of the big picture or where it's all going. I mean, is it really going to matter if I go to heaven after 50 years down here, 55 years, 65, 85, 95? I'm living down here for a while. I'm living there forever. What matters is that I'm saved and going to heaven. And I want to use the time I have here to serve and glorify Him. And but you ought to praise God for His goodness to you, to yourself, and talk about it. Think about it yourself and praise Him. You ought to praise God for it to Him. You ought to thank God and say, "You know, God, I thank You." Glorify Him. Talk to Him that way. Thank Him for what He's done for you. Praise Him for what He's done for you. "I will glorify the Lord." And then you ought to praise God to others. You're out in the community or family gatherings or anything else. God is good all the time. I mean, Some people, you talk to Christians and how's it go? Oh, I tell you, brother, it's so hard and I got this problem and that problem. Why would they? You know, some preachers do that, not your pastor. You know, you get up to, oh, the ministry is so hard and I don't this and I don't that and I had to give up this. You don't give up anything serving God that God doesn't give you 10 times over. I mean, you had to praise God, talk about it. You know, even the community, you know, people are talking and griping about this or that. You say, I don't know, God's been good to me. So that'd sound funny if I said that in a barbershop. Be a good Christian testimony. And, you know, I want to praise God. And if again, if you read the Psalms at all, one out of every eight chapters in the Bible, I'm not sure there's a psalm that doesn't have something in it about praising God. Now, I have read all 150 of them. I haven't necessarily read it looking for that. But, you know, if you read Psalms at all, you know it's about praising God. Number two, I think Psalms emphasizes loving poor people. The Bible teaches and Psalms emphasizes again and again and again, God loves poor people. And Psalm 41:1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. In talking about the poor financially, people that don't have any money, talking about the poor, the outcast, the lonely, the people needing help, bus kids. God loves bus kids. One of the reasons God has blessed my wife and I in our lives and service to people is we've loved the bus kids. Still love the bus kids, still visit on bus routes. If I were in Lexington, I wouldn't be in this morning, I wouldn't be in the morning service with the preacher, I'd be with the bus kids. God loves poor people. And again, you're talking about not just poor financially, but then the outcast, the person has a handicap, the person's a little bit weird, person that doesn't quite fit in. And you know, if you go back to it, we're all a little bit weird. Or college students, I'll say, you know, they come in and you, one of the good things about going to college or Bible college, living in the dorms, you know, you learn to get along with a lot of different kinds of people. Different ethnic background, different parts of the country, different priorities, different habits. And, you know, the people come in, well, my roommate's kind of weird. I say, well, you know what? They were in yesterday and told me the same thing about you. I mean, we're all a little bit weird, including me. We've all got some idiosyncrasy or something about us. Now, some people have more than others. But God loves the person that's trying to serve him that doesn't quite fit in. Why would I humiliate or try to make fun of somebody who's trying to do something good? Why would I humiliate or criticize anybody? That they're God's creature. They're saved. They're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we heard in Sunday school. Why wouldn't I take up for poor people? Proverbs 31:8-9 talks about, you know, God taking up for the people who can't hear their plead. Talks about the king. It's king's job to take up for people who can't take up their own cause. You know, if you're a king and you're getting drunk, then you can't plead for the poor people that don't have any other voice. You've got to be their voice, okay? And again, that includes poor financially, but includes poor other ways that don't have, they're just not cool, they're not whatever. The bus ministry. You know, when you do things for people who have money or people who can do things for you, and it's good to do things for people who have money, it's good to do things for people, including those who have money or people that could do you a favor. But when you do something for somebody can do you a favor, you can't help but have in the back of your mind, wonder what they'll do for me. You know, Russell Anderson, the multimillionaire, gave over $35 million to God's work before he went on to heaven. And co-founder of Hiles Anderson and Commonwealth and a bunch of other schools. He and I got to be pretty close friends there at the end of his life and knew him, you know, casually for decades. But you, somebody like that, you're with him and, you know, you do something nice for him or you offer him, give him a ride to the airport one time in Santa Clara and this and that, or you go up, end of his life, I went up to see him several times there. And you can't help but think, I wonder if he'll give me $100 as I walk out the door. Because I've seen him do that a lot. You know, $100 to him wasn't that much. I've seen him hand out $100 bills. I mean, you can't help but think that. Now, I don't want to think that. I love him, and I want it. Towards the end, I said, look, Doc, I don't want anything from you. Please don't give me any. Let's just take that off the table so I can just come be a friend. You know what? He did that. He followed what I asked him to do. Didn't give me anything. But you go out and do something for somebody that can't do anything for you, then you're giving. You go out and find some bus kid and somebody obviously bought a bunch of clothes for bus kids that were here this morning. Said to my wife, I don't know when I've seen so many cute little girls in cute little dresses. I mean, cute dresses. Somebody out here bought those. And you go out and do something for somebody that can't do anything for you. God takes note of that. Yeah. Proverbs 19:7. I won't turn to that one. I don't know if I marked it or not. But not in Ezekiel. Proverbs 19:17 and following. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. God's no man's debtor. You give to the poor, you're lending to God. God's going to pay you back. And so that poor man can't pay you back, but God will. And it may be financially or it may not. Maybe some other way God pays you back. Sometimes I think God gives us more so we can give more. Lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You give money, give encouragement, give direction, give friendship. You want to love the Father's children. My wife and I have three children. Some people are nice to our kids. Some people aren't nice to our kids. People that are nice to our kids or do things for our children, I mean, you can't help but appreciate that and love them. If I do things for God's children, God loves that.
Yes.
And again, you do things for people that can't do anything for you, then you're really giving, and then God takes note of that and God repays you. Think of that. Brother Hiles worked for him for 23 years, used to have a silent sermon he'd preach. He'd say, you want to know how to get God's blessings on your life? It's not like this. Those of you that are getting and hoarding, that's what happens. You want to have God's blessing on your life? It's like this. And you get and give, and it keeps coming and coming and coming. Again, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about blessing and time and influence and helping people. Number one, you read the Psalms very much at all, you can't help but be convinced that God wants us to praise him. Number two, that God loves the poor. And number three, God takes care of his children. I mean, I don't know. Back, 2024, and looking at the presidential election, thinking, well, what's going to happen if Harris wins? Or I got a brother that's as liberal as I am conservative, and he was saying, what's going to happen if Trump wins? And I said, you know, probably whichever one wins, we're both going to get up, make a cup of coffee in the morning, eat our breakfast, go to work. I mean, it's really, you know, our life's going to go on. But regardless of all that, God takes care of me. You read Psalm 23, I memorized that as a child. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I have a message I preach on that. The welfare of a sheep is pretty much determined by who the shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. And because I have the Lord as my shepherd, I don't have to worry. Again, God takes care of his children. And you read the Psalms, that's all the way through there. You read, God takes care of his children. God judges sinners. Let's see, where am I here? Psalm 23, I read that verse. I'll just try and skip around a little bit. Psalm 56, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, verse 3. You ever been afraid? Trust in God. Psalm 91, famous psalm there. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Somebody out to get you, God will get you out of that. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We're going to go into a war. Is this going to be World War III? Is there going to be atomic bombs? Is there going to be, what's going to happen in Israel? What's going to happen with Iran? Are they asleep? I don't know. But I know God takes care of his children. And I don't, regardless of what happens in the world, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Neither, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know, God takes care of his children. I mean, you read Psalms at all, you read the Bible at all. I mean, it's just in there again and again and again and again. Psalm 40, I was reading Psalms recently, 30. Last two verses in Psalm 30, I think, is what I wanted. No, 31. Last two verses in 31, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. And as you read the Psalm, he plentifully rewardeth the proud doer, but that's with judgment.
Yeah, that's right.
The reward of the proud doer is judgment, but God takes care of his children. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, and ye shall have hope in the Lord. Verse 10 of Psalm 32, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, God takes care of his children. He does. Now, somebody says, yeah, but I mean, I'm God's child, and I got sick. That's not because God doesn't love us. That's because of our address. It ends in earth. Someday our address is going to end in heaven. We won't get sick anymore. I'm going to move. I don't know when. Certainly, I mean, because we live on the earth, I will get sick. People I love will get sick. Because I live on the earth, I will die. People I love will die. But when that happens, we're going to heaven. I mean, it's not like it's, I mean, it's disappointing. We miss people. I think of my mom and dad, and, I miss them and think of them every day. But I'm going to see them again. And that's, praise God, if you get sick, you praise God for the opportunity to show his grace and strength. And your pastor's been a tremendous example of that over the last, what, 3-4 years? But God takes care of his children. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. I want to live and so on, be careful and make plans, but ultimately it's all in God's hand. I don't have to, I believe in going to doctors and I believe in all that stuff, but everything's in God's hand. I believe in voting and being involved in the political process, and I don't know, less than 1% of what I give to God's work, I give to some political candidate or something. I mean, I'm not opposed to do it. I don't give much. So if I give $1,000 to God's work, then I might give 10 to a politician or something, some kind of thing like that. But I believe in doing that. I think we ought to do what we can. I think we ought to vote. I think we ought to educate ourselves on the issues, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, it's all in God's hand. And regardless of what happens, I know that he is my father. And if you read the Bible, especially the Psalms, you get again and again and again, I ought to praise God. I ought to love poor people. And God's going to take care of me. It's all going to be okay. Spend your life giving and God will make sure you keep getting more to give. Spend your life hoarding. You'll be lonely, unsatisfied, and miserable. I want to praise God for the opportunity he's given me. I want to help and share it with others. I want to try and take care of poor people. And I want to trust and not worry. I think maybe Ironside's statement at the beginning that I found the other day, we should worry less. We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Read the book of Psalms. Read one psalm every day. Most of them take you less than a minute. Be a good start to your morning. Be a good way to keep in touch with God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Wonder is, before I pray, if God's spoken to somebody's heart this morning, maybe about the matter of praising God, maybe about the matter of working with helping people that are poor emotionally, physically, financially, maybe about the matter of just trusting God about circumstances. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to see it, and I'd like to pray for you. God's spoken to your heart specifically. Something in there. See several hands. Wonder if there's somebody here this morning I haven't really preached, I've talked about, I know I'm going to heaven, and maybe you're sitting here and thinking, Brother Jorgensen, I wish I knew I were going to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would if I were to die today. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here today? Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and in a moment I'll pray, and then after I pray, the pianist will play, invite you to come forward and make decisions for God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that you've been so good to us. Help us to praise you. Help us to take care of poor people and poor in every way. Help us to trust you about our lives and our future, we pray. Be with us and guide in Jesus' name. Amen.